when we left here on Sunday, I had planned to be here on Wednesday night and do the service, and I was expecting a phone call from one of my doctors to set me up an appointment, and they called me on Monday and got me in really quick, got me in for Wednesday, late in the day, at the end of the day, so I was really concerned about getting back in time for the service on Wednesday night. Contacted David and told him that I thought it might be best if I just recorded something for the service, and decided we'd go this route and do this on for the Wednesday night and put it online for everyone to see. So this is why we're doing this. I apologize that it came out this way, but hope it's a blessing anyhow, and be an encouragement to everyone and every heart. So we still have a lot of prayer requests, a lot of needs. Keep folk in your prayers, asking the Lord to help and touch and move in their lives, their hearts. Holly and Randy Lales, Tad and Guy, as they are continuing taking treatments and those things, keep them in your prayers. So many requests, so many needs and lives, hearts God knows all about, knows how to touch, how to help. We could go down our list, so many, but I'm just going to save the time going down and check our prayer list online, continue to pray for them, pray over them, and ask God's help, asking the Lord to keep our folks safe in these days and meet the needs of their heart. So let's just bow and have a word of prayer, and then we'll look into the Word for a little bit this evening. Our Father, thank you for your kindness and your love and grace and your mercy upon our lives. Lord, we ask that you'd bless and you'd help in our study this evening. And Lord God, touch as only you can and move in our heart. I know you're able to help us. Touch me physically. Give me the words, the wisdom. Help me to honor you in what I say. May it all be for your glory. Help those that are sick and hurting, taking treatments. People on our prayer list, God, meet every need. Homes and families that need your touch. We'll thank you for all you do. We trust it in your hands. Keep our church family safe and in your care. In your name we ask and humbly pray. Amen. We're continuing our study in the book of James. We finished up last time in the second chapter, and I want to pick up in chapter number 3 tonight and look at some things. The section that I want to look at really takes in the first 12 verses, but I want to read only the first 5, and I'm actually not even going to cover all those tonight. But look at verses 1 through 5 in the 3rd chapter of James. So take your Bibles, James, the 3rd chapter, and starting in verse 1, says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend God in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very great helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts of great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." So that is reading the first five verses in James chapter number 3. As James concluded the second chapter, he had been talking about the importance of works along with our faith. And he had been emphasizing and stressing the importance of how that faith and works go together, not to the point that it is by works we are saved, but to the point that that it is faith and works together, that as you are saved and your faith will show evidence through our works, that our works will give evidence that there is faith and genuine faith in our lives. That if there is no works, then faith is dead, being alone. So he emphasized all that. And so as he ends that chapter, he gets into chapter number 3, and he takes up another subject, because it's very possible that there's some that would look at it and say, well, okay, well, that's all that matters. You know, I have works that go along with my faith. So evidently what I say, my words, don't have any point to it. Doesn't matter what I say. So James comes along in the third chapter with the following up, and he says, yes, your words do matter. It does matter what you say. And you've got to guard your tongue, and you guard what you say. That not only is there importance in our faith and our words going together, but it is important in our words and what we say. So he comes along and he makes the connection to our words in chapter number 3. Doctors tell us that the average size of the human tongue for men is only about 3.5 inches. And for women, it's a little smaller than that. And I know some of you men are probably thinking, well, they thought it was the other way. They probably thought, well, women's tongues are probably a little bigger than men. But it isn't that way. So I hate to tell you men that our tongues are bigger than women's by a little bit. So women, you can go ahead and laugh at your husband because of that. But our tongue, a men's tongue, are a little bigger than women's tongues. But isn't it amazing that something so small as our tongue can create the kind of trouble that it can create? That little muscle that can start our tongue, and that little muscle can start and stop wars. It can create stress or relieve it. It can express love and hatred. It can build up and it can tear down. Proverbs 18 and 21 puts it like this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there are some husbands that they use the tongue to beat down their wife with destructive words of criticism. But then wives can turn right around and use attacks of their own with their tongues and harm their husbands themselves. their parents, that unload on their children verbal attacks like, you can't do anything right. Or things like, you'll never amount to anything in life. And by saying things like that, they'll do damage to their kids that they can carry for the rest of their lives. And often children can do damage themselves toward their parents by insulting and criticizing them and failing to give the proper respect and honor that their parents deserve. I said all that to say this, that words are harmful. We often hear it, and I've said it before, we often hear that little phrase and adage that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. But that just isn't true. Words do hurt, and words do damage, and they do cause great harm in life. And they do hurt us. I doubt that there is a single one of us today that hasn't felt the sting of unkind words in our own heart. We try to put on a strong face when somebody hurts us, when somebody wounds us, but the damage is done in our life and in our heart. We think about physical wounds and the damage that they cause. And physical wounds will heal for the most part. But the wounds of pain and hurtful words and the damage that they do, they'll often never heal in the life and in the heart. Sometimes it's you'll live with them for the rest of your life because of the damage that they do. I read the story once about Mary Livingston, who was the wife of the famous missionary David Livingston. He is the missionary from Scotland to Africa. And David Livingston had been in Africa for years, and he heard gossips from other missionaries that were saying hurtful things about him, making comments and saying things that apparently he wanted to get as far away from his wife as possible. And that's why he left her at home in Scotland and came to Africa to be a missionary. And he wrote letters home talking about how that hurt him for other gossiping missionaries to say those things. So he decided to bring his wife to the mission field, even though she had some health problems. So he brought her to Africa anyway to quiet the gossip that he had heard. But within 3 months, she got malaria and died because of the sickness. But it was because of the gossiping that caused her to come there and contract malaria and hide. I want to tell you, that's the power of gossiping and of words. And we have so many more ways, even today, of doing damage with our words. We have the means of social media. We have the gossiping and insults. We have the the means of insults and suggestive ideas. But we do it today through Facebook and Twitter and emails and texting on our cell phones and on our computers and things through social media. We'll get online and we'll get on our cell phones and we'll post things and say harmful and hurtful things against people in our day. Something will happen to in our church. Something will happen at work. Somebody will do something or say something. And the first thing we'll do is get on Twitter, get on Facebook, and run them down and criticize them and say harmful and hurtful things. We'll criticize our church. We'll criticize our pastor. We'll criticize others around us. And we'll run them down. And somehow we've got the idea that all we have to do is hit delete or take it away and it's okay and it's all right and it's gone. But it's just all right and it's not true, because it's already out there. It's online. And you just can't make it go away. And the damage of those words are already done. We say, well, oops, I didn't mean to say that. And it just slipped out. But Jesus said one time, he said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I want to tell you, Jesus said if it's in your heart, it's already there. And what's in the heart will come out of your mouth. But you might say, well, but I didn't say it. I typed it. But I tell you, I believe if Jesus was alive physically today, that he would say something like this for our generation. He would say, for out of the abundance of the heart, the hand typeth. I think that he would say that for this generation. Because just because you erase it or delete it, it doesn't go away. I read the article just recently about a professor from UNC Wilmington. He got caught up in some things that he had posted online, some criticism he had put on Twitter, complaining about Governor Cooper and some things that he had put on guidelines about the current pandemic. And he had complained about the governor, saying some harmful things, making comments about him, calling him names. And there was a petition of some 60,000 signatures that were calling for his firing. And people were complaining about him. And I read in the article just recently, because of all of that, and because of all that he said, he killed himself, took his own life, because of the damage of hurtful words that he had posted online. I'm telling you, that is the power of words, even today. The trouble with our tongues is what James is talking about. Isn't it amazing that after 6,000 plus years of human history and of all the things that we have learned over those years, that we still can't control the tongue? That little member, James called it that little member of our body that we still can't control. control our tongue. So what James is talking about in this text, in this study, is the trouble with our tongues. And that's what I'm going to talk about in this section, is the trouble with our tongues. The trouble with our tongues. I'm only going to look at a small portion tonight. In verses 1 and 2, James talks about a warning concerning teaching. And he starts at the top. He talks about those who are in authority. He talks about those who are teachers. And that's where I'm starting at tonight, in verses 1 and 2. So James starts and he says, "My brethren," James is telling us of his love and concern for these people. He is saying, "I love you." He is saying, "I'm telling you this because I care about you. I'm interested in you." You know, sometimes as people who are preachers and teachers, sometimes we say things out of animosity. Sometimes we say things with the attitude that I'm going to tan their hides. I'm going to lay it on them. You know, I'm gonna really lay it to them today. But that ought not ever be the attitude that we, as preachers, have in feeding the flock. I want to tell you, that's how we ought to preach and teach, is feeding the flock. And that's what James is saying when he says, "My brethren." He says, "I've got a heart for you, and I come to you because I love you. I come to you because I care about you. I say what I say to you because I'm interested in you." And that ought to ever be our attitude. And that's my attitude when I stand. Sometimes what we say isn't easy to say. Sometimes what we preach isn't easy to preach. But it ought to be an attitude of love, an attitude of brokenness. And even though we say what we say, it's hard to say, and it is truth, but it ought to be with a heart of love. So James is saying, "I'm saying what I say to you because I love you." He says, "My brethren, be not many masters." He says, "I come to you saying this to you, that you ought not be many masters." Be not many masters. He says, "I come to you with a word of caution." A word of caution. Be not many masters. That word masters is teachers or instructors. James is concerned that there are some among them that are just seeking to be teachers and instructors because of the position. They like that authority. They like that position of being a master or teacher. They like the aim. They like that position of authority. And I want to tell you, we still have that problem today. There are those that like that position because they like that authority among people. They like being able to have people to follow them. They like the money that they have. They like it because they see it as a job. And they like it because it's a paycheck. And that's all they want it for. It isn't that they have a heart for people. It isn't that they have a heart to be one that leads the people and teaching them the ways of God. But they see it because it's a paycheck from week to week. So James cautions them and says, be not many masters. He says, understand the position that you're in. Understand that it is a position of authority that God has given you. It is a word of caution that he gives them because he follows it with a warning of condemnation. Notice it. He says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He said, realize this. Realize we're facing the greater condemnation. That word condemnation means the greater judgment. He says, realize that we are going to face the greater responsibility and accountability to God. I want to tell you something today, folk. It is a humbling position for me because I realize that the position that I'm in as a pastor and as a preacher, that I'm facing a greater accountability because of the position I'm in. I realize that I'm facing greater accountability because of the place that God has put me in. That I'm facing a greater accountability to Him. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. He says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Jesus said, to whom much is given, of him shall be much required. And that's what James is trying to say here. He said, to you that are given the position of a teacher, of a preacher, somebody who's got that position, he said, realize that you've got a greater accountability to God because of what you say and what you teach and what you preach to others. I want to tell you, that is a humbling thing to understand. But also that word condemnation, it means to separate and to distinguish. It means that God distinguishes and separates those who are called to preach and teach His words to a higher accountability. So James cautions us to be more careful about what we say and what we teach and what we preach because we have a greater accountability unto God. I want to say to you, church, I want to say to you tonight, that causes me to realize that the way that I study and the way that I prepare and the way that I prepare myself to stand before this congregation from week to week causes me to be more ready, to be more prepared, to be more sensitive to what I say, because I know I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account about how I prepared, how I prayed, how I preach every message to this congregation. That is challenging to my heart. I want to tell you something. That is humbling to this preacher. My sister talked to me some time back. Their church was calling a new preacher. This was back before the pandemic. And she was concerned because he was a young preacher and this was his first church. And she was concerned because he was young and inexperienced and there were some things that he said in the pulpit that it showed his inexperience. And she was a little concerned about that. And she was a little bit concerned and expressed that to me. And I told her, I said, you know, I remember my first church. And I remember when I first started. I look back at now. And I remember that there's a lot of things that I did, a lot of things that I said, that I was really thankful that my first church was patient with me. And they overlooked a lot of my mistakes. And they overlooked a lot of my inexperience because I was learning. And I told her, I said, be patient with him. He'll make a lot of mistakes, but he'll learn. Pray for him. Be patient with him, and God will use him. And she told me, she said, I really appreciate that. I want to tell you something. I appreciate that in a church with me. And I appreciate it even now because I'm still learning. I'm still making mistakes because I'm not perfect. And none of us are. And that's what James says in verse number 2. Look at it. He says in verse 2, for in many things we offend all. He said, if many men defend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. He says something about communication. He says, understand this. He said, of the way we communicate in all of our lives. He said, lest we point a finger at each other. Understand this, that there's not a single one of us that doesn't make mistakes, that we all offend in our words at some time, that we all make mistakes, that we all fail, that we all come short, that we all miss it on occasions, that we all, sometime or other, miss it. I want to tell you, we all need to learn that. That we all need to understand that. I'm not perfect, and you're not either. I need to realize that, and you do too. That we all, once in a while, say things that we miss it. I say things at times, and I miss it. You say things sometimes and miss it. That we've all, on occasions, do things we ought not to. And we need to learn to be patient with each other because we'll all come short and we'll all miss the mark. James says we all offend. He says that, for in many things we offend all. In many things we miss it. He said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Could I ask you a question in closing tonight? Do you know anybody that's a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body? I don't know a single one tonight that can say, I'm a perfect man and I'm able to bridle the whole body. James said, in many things we offend all. There's not a one of us that's able to say that we're a perfect man tonight. James said we need to learn that, and I say tonight we need to learn that tonight as well. We need to learn to be patient with each other, because there's not a one of us perfect. I need to be patient with you, and you need to be patient with me, because there's not a one of us perfect. It's easy. It's easy to be offended. It's easy to be hurt with words, because they do hurt. We need to learn that words hurt and be careful what we say. I remember the kids used to sing a little song. Paul, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. But we need to also sing that part, so be careful, little tongue, what you say. We need to be careful. Guard our tongues. We all have trouble with our tongues tonight. I do. But we need to guard them. I believe it was David in the Psalms prayed and asked the Lord to set a watch over his lips. And we need to ask the Lord to set a watch over our lips. Ask the Lord to help us guard our tongues, lest we say something that offends and hurts somebody, one of our brothers and one of our sisters in this life. Hope tonight maybe something the Lord has spoken to your heart and helped you in some way. Oh, my Father, would you help me tonight? Set a watch over my tongue. God, guard my lips, lest I say something that would be offensive. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to be patient with one another and meet the needs of our hearts as you alone can. We'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we humbly pray, and amen.